Thank you, Brother Hoffman, my bread, my dear brother, and Mary, my sister Mary. And a few familiar faces. I'm not good at that, so just forgive me. Yeah, I'm privileged to be here again by God's grace. The Hoffman has been a very dear brother to me. And, trusting the Lord to just keep us on the way as we press on. I believe the Lord will see us through.
Amen.
It's been a while since I came here. I don't remember whether I've been here since after the COVID. I don't know. Anyway, we are here once again just to worship and to have fellowship around the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our lives that are in your hands. Father, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep all that we've committed unto him against that day. We are grateful, Lord. Since the last time we met, many things have transpired. But your grace has kept us. For us to see ourselves again, we thank you so much. You who began with us, we believe that God, you will also see us through, bringing us to where you want us to be. Forgive us of all our trespasses, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and anything that tried to stand our way, Lord, cleanse them from us. That will always follow your footsteps and live for you. We are here this evening, Lord. Pray that God, you will give us something that will encourage us in this journey, Father, and strengthen our faith. We bless your name, Lord. Those who are not here, Father, with us because of one or two reasons, may you, Father, give them their portion of the children's cake as we share this evening. I commit myself to thee. Just have your own way in me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we please be on our feet as we read the scriptures? I'm reading from Luke chapter 1 and verses 70 to 75. Luke 1, 70 to 75. Let's hear the word of the Lord. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Amen. Father, may you expound the word to us, that we might live here better than we came. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We can take our seats now. So a little subject we are considering is all the days of our life. All the days of our life. Hallelujah. Now, as we come to the Lord, we don't receive Christ or the Lord just for a few hours or moments. We don't receive Christ during, like the Catholics say, the Lent, or time of fasting and praying. No, but all the days of our lives, we receive Christ. And not for holidays, no vacation, no for pension. And go to pension and then you are done with the Lord. No, we don't take vacations, annual vacations in serving the Lord. We don't take holidays from serving the Lord, but we serve Him all the days of our lives. And no economic excuses, financial excuses. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, say, I know both how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So in all things, we are to serve the Lord, and all the days of our lives, we are here to serve Him. There should not come any time where we try to find excuses why we cannot serve God, why we have to excuse God for a moment, why we have to stay home for a moment, just stop fellowship with the Lord for a moment. There is nothing. There is nothing that should stop us from serving the Lord all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. You know, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, the scripture says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So once we hold the plow, it is a forward march. We don't look back. If we look back, Jesus says, you are not fit for the kingdom. So once we begin with Christ, forward march, backward never. We serve Him with all that is in us all the days of our lives. We are completely sold out to Him. And so we should serve Him all the days of our life with all that is in us. He didn't call us briefly or for a moment. No, He has called us. He has bought us and we belong to Him. As long as He wants to use us, we must avail ourselves for His use. So there shouldn't be any time where we try to stay away from Him. But all the days of our lives, we are here to serve Him. So scripture says that anyone who comes to Christ must first of all sit down and count the cost. That is in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitting not down first and counting the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. So once we start something, he said, before you start something, trying to put a structure or embark on anything, you sit down to, first of all, count the cost, whether you have enough to finish whatever you've started or you want to start. Otherwise, you come into the middle, you get stuck, and that is all. But the Bible again says that to him that overcometh, he who fights to the end. So if you do it halfway, there is no reward. If we serve the Lord halfway, there is no reward. So whatever we start in him, we must make sure that we are going to take it to the end. So once we begin with Christ, serving him, we must have enough strength. We must have enough faith to continue serving him. Which of you intending to build a house or a tower, sit it not down first and count the cost, whether he has a sufficient to finish it. You know, it is not by our might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. So it's the Holy Spirit that is the one who gives us the strength to continue, to complete the work that the Lord has called us to do. All the commission he's given to us, the call of our lives. We cannot do it by ourselves, but we need the Holy Ghost to really energize us on a daily basis, renew our strength so that we will be able to make it. It is not an easy road, as a song says. It's not an easy road. But then, because we cannot do it all by ourselves, we need the Holy Spirit to always energize us. You get up, you pray, the Lord should renew your strength for the journey that is ahead. So that is what we have to be doing. You know, say every human effort will fail us. All our efforts will fail us. Many try as Christians to live Christian life, and then along the line, they fall back. So it doesn't take our strength. It doesn't take our efforts. But it takes the Spirit of God to help us to finish whatever we have started. Otherwise, we will not be able to do it. So he strengthens us, he straightens us, and then he leads us day by day unto victory. The man wants always to do things on in his own way. As long as he doesn't have his own way, he's not satisfied. Every man wants to do, he doesn't want to take control. Instructions. People don't want to take instruction. That is the nature of man. He wants to do it his own way. But, you know, man's way cannot never satisfy God. The Bible says that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, way of death. So man, we should not depend on our own. God didn't create us to depend on our own, to fend for ourselves. He created man to depend on him. And as long as we depend on him, he will see us through. When we try to do things our own way, we'll fail. So as long as we are serving him, we are with him all the days of our lives, victory is sure to be ours. And when we talk of victory, it doesn't mean that we'll not be going through difficulties, challenges, and problem. No, those things are there. But then, victory will surely be ours. Hallelujah. So we need to serve the Lord, have a mind, have a heart, have a determination, have faith that we're going to serve the Lord all the days of our lives. You know, there are a lot of challenges. Everyone has his own challenges. Everyone. There's not a child of God. There's not one child of God who is not going through challenges. We all have challenges, but in it all, may the Lord help us to serve him with all our hearts, with all that is in us, just to believe him, take him at his word, and let him lead the way that we might follow. See, we have many battles. There are many battles for us to fight, many rivers to cross, mountains to tunnel through. But in all that, let's place God first. Let him lead us. Because we don't know the way. Let the battle be the Lord. That is how the children of Israel trusted the Lord. He led them all through. If God did not lead Israel, how were they going to overcome all those numerous enemies who were much stronger than them? The Lord once told them that you are not the greatest, you are not the strongest, you are not the most populous people. But it is because I have placed my love in you. That's why I lead. That's why you are able to overcome all these. that if God was not on their side, if God was not leading them, how could they have crossed the Red Sea when their enemies were just behind them and then the mountains on the left and right? But it took God. So in all our situations, it takes God. It has to take God. There's no way that we can fight the battle. It takes God to fight for us. It takes God to make the way for us. The scripture says that there's no temptation that has never befallen man. And it says God is faithful that even in the temptation, like he will not give us temptation that is beyond us. He will not allow us to go through difficulties that are beyond us. But even in the temptation, even in our condition like that, he said he will make a way of escape. He will make a way of escape. He has to bring us out of that. It only takes God's hands. And so let us trust him to live for him all the days of our lives. We don't have the strength to face the enemy. We don't have it. And our strength is in the Lord. The Lord is our strength. He's our buckler. He's our everything. And so once you leave him, then you are in danger. But as long as we are following him, once we are at the post of duty, issues will come, challenges will come, sicknesses and all kinds of problems. But then there's no excuse for staying away or now turning our backs unto the Lord. No. Whatever we go through, let us serve him all the days of our lives. That is what is expected of us. Want to live the way Jesus wants us to live. Because we are disciples. We are following him. We are to be Christ-like. We have to do what he wants us to do. You know, the three Hebrew children that we always talk about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they wanted to go their own way wouldn't have ended them in the fiery furnace. Because they had the option to either serve the Lord, their God, or worship the image of the king's God. They had the option. If they had their own way, they would have had their liberty. But they were going the way of God. And the way of God was through the fiery furnace, which they accepted gladly. And they were ready to even sacrifice their own lives. So we are not living for ourselves. We are living for him who has called us. And we have to be obedient and obediently follow him. Think about Daniel. Daniel's way wouldn't have been through the lion's den. If he had his own way, he wouldn't have gone that way. But he was just in the hands of God. Lord, no matter what happens, I will serve you all the days of my life, regardless of the dangers and whatever. I am to serve you, and I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. The king's decree did not deter Daniel. Neither did it deter the three Hebrew children. They had purpose in their hearts that they were going to serve the Lord all the days of their lives. And we are to serve the Lord all the days of our lives. The problem that they went through, we also have our problems to go. We may not go through the same thing in the lion's den, the fiery furnace and all that. We also have our problems. But let us purpose in our heart that we're going to serve the Lord all the days of our life, regardless of what comes our way. Well, that is a sign of a true believer, a true disciple. The song that says, it is the way the master went, should not the servant tread it still. If the master went that way, then we must also be prepared to go that way. He didn't deny us. You know, in front of Pilate, he said, I have power to call 12 legions of angels to fight for me. He had that power, and he could have done that. But if he had used that, let me say, if he had been selfish, to use that, where would we be? But he was determined. He came for a purpose. He said, for this cause came I. He came for a purpose because he had us in mind to deliver us. So he stood for us. Nothing could stop him. As human, when he was praying in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. That is the human part of it. I said, for this cause came I. I came to save the people. Why should I do that? No matter what comes my way, I am ready to drink the cup. I'm ready to save the people. I'm ready to redeem them, to bring them out of bondage. So a purpose in his heart that whatever he was to go through, he will do it there to save us. This is what Jesus did for us. And we look at the other characters in the Bible. Look at Mordecai sitting at the gate of the palace. All the other people will bow when Haman was passing. He said, "No, I will not pass. I will not bow. I'm ready to pay the cost. I'm going to serve the Lord, him and him alone, because I'm a Jew. I'm not supposed to bow to any." In our lives, he was to bow to Haman. But we may have some Hamans in our lives that wanted to bow, that wanted to compromise. But let us stand for God, especially in times like this. See, there are many voices calling for attention. There are many things that we have to do in order to make ends meet or to have some benefit or something. Let us not bow to any of these. The time is too short. The coming of the Lord is so close at hand. Even in the days of the prophet, he said, we're living in a borrowed time. So come to think of it now. So we should not be bowing to anything. We should not compromise. Let's serve the Lord all the days of our life so that the reward will be our portion. The Lord has something for us. We should serve Jehovah God all the days of our lives. Be a Christian in the morning, Christian in the afternoon, Christian in the evening, Christian in Ghana, Christian in North America, wherever we find ourselves. Let us be what we are. And I think it's Psalm 137. It said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Rather, we should be singing the Lord's song in a strange land where they don't want to hear. We don't have to be Christians only when we come together. But in a strange land, when we get among strange people, we should sing the Lord's song. That is where they have to know what is in us. If we get there and we compromise with them and all that, and we come here, it's not here that we are Christians. Our Christianity should be expressed outside. So where people are not seeing the Lord, that is where we have to sing the Lord's song. That's where we have to express Christ. That's where they have to see Christ. Hey, as for this woman, as for this man, no. Especially the people you are working with. When they are playing around things. No, this man, he will not tolerate that. Let them know who you are. You let your identification be clear. That I'm not ready to compromise. I'm not ready to stop serving the Lord who has brought me this far. I want to serve him all the days of my life. I want to continue living for him. Once I'm a Christian, I always want to be a Christian. I want to live for him. A Christian in times of trouble. A Christian in times of peace. Whatever situation that I find myself, I want to be a Christian. I want to be seen as living for God. Living for him. Praise the Lord. When it's cloudy, live for Christ. When it is sunny, live for Him. Is it rainy time? Live for Him. Winter time, live for Him. All the days of your life or our lives, let's live for Him. You know, Bram talks about the three courts in the tabernacle which God asked Moses to construct. And they had the outer court, they had the inner court, and then the innermost court, that is the Holy of Holies. And the prophet was saying something in the message, Hidden Life. He says, look at the light on the outside in the court. It was the firmament that lit it up. Sunlight and so forth. Some days were cloudy. Some days the sun didn't shine at all. Some days it was dark. Now that's the outer court. You know, those are the outer court. Their lives were determined or controlled by the weather. If it's sunny, their lives are sunny. If it's cloudy, their lives become moody. If it's raining, it's a different thing altogether. So the weather condition determined their stand or their mood of something. That is the outer court. And I don't believe any Christian will have to be there where our lives determine, the life outside or the conditions, whether financial, economical, or whatever, that should not determine our relationship with God. In all situations, like Paul said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. So the weather condition should not hinder us or determine our relationship with God. It should not hinder our relationship with God. In the inner court, it said the next court was the lamp of God where the justified stand. And it's lit by human hands. That's where we argue our denominations, where we argue our differences, split hairs, and I don't believe divine healing. I don't believe that them visions come from God. I don't believe this. I don't believe in that. Yet you are eating manna, but you are living under artificial light. You know, okay, that's right. Sometimes the lights go out. Sometimes your lamp gets smoked up. But to him who desires to hide away, walk into the next place, there is no artificial light. Now, you see, the people in the outer court, they are eating manna. Those in the inner court, they are eating manna. And those in the innermost court, they are all eating manna. We are all eating manna. By then, the condition, the atmosphere under which you are eating, is paramount. It's very important. You can eat manna in the outer court, in the inner court, but the manna that you eat, maybe we're all eating the same manna, but then the condition in which you are eating it is very important. Very important. And it's here in the inner court, he's saying that the lights are man-made lit. So this light can go off anytime because it's man-made. See? So it means that condition is also not good. But then the third condition or atmosphere, that the Holy of Holies, there is no artificial light anywhere. But down in between the ark of the wings of the cherubims was a supernatural light hanging in there, which was a halo of God that lit the whole room. And a man once entered that Shekinah glory, hallelujah, that moves back. There is the presence of Almighty God. The dimness of this world, any artificial organizations, and all man-made creeds have passed away, and is living in the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. So in the innermost core, that is the Holy of Holies, that is the very presence of God, where the cherubims are, he says there is a supernatural light. It is a perpetual light. It does not go off. So it doesn't make our lives ups and downs. No, it is constant. We are always what we are. Whatever we're going through, we are in the presence of God. We are in His Shekinah glory. And so, whether I have something to eat or not, it doesn't change me. Whether I have something to wear, clothes on or not, it doesn't change me. Any situation that I find myself, because I'm in the perpetual, under the perpetual light, it doesn't change me. It helps me to serve the Lord all the days of my life. It doesn't change my attitude. It doesn't draw a very rough graph. Sometimes you are up and then next time you come down, depending on what is happening in your life. You go down and no, we are constant. We live constantly in His presence. May God help us to be constant with God, to live the way He wants us to live. So that's what the innermost court does for us. You know, Bram said, in those days, to enter into the holiest place was death. Because even the high priest, who was the only one to enter there, anytime he didn't prepare enough to get there, he'd be dragged out dead. But now he said the situation has changed. Now, if you don't enter there, it is rather death. First, if you enter there, it was death. But now, if you didn't enter there, it is death. So that is where we all should desire to be in the holiest of places. That is where our fellowship, our relationship with God, our service to the Lord will be perfect, or will be proper. Then we'll not be moody times, we'll not be this times, and no, we'll not be changing, depending on the situation, no. And then he says, another thing, did you ever get up of the morning and find the dew that fell down from heaven and refreshes the earth? How does it refresh it? When it's at peace, the dew don't fall in daytime. The dew falls in the nighttime when everything is at peace. The dew can never fall on you, my brother, as long as you are fusing and then arguing and stewing about the things here on earth. Get alone with God and let the dew drops of mercy fall upon you in the stillness. Hallelujah. We are talking about serving the Lord all the days of our lives. Serving Him all the days of our lives. Many people, it's Christianity, is not a human, doesn't take any human effort. It takes a total surrender, total commitment to God. And it comes by the Holy Spirit. If we try our own effort, we'll get to a time we'll fail. We'll be fed up. We'll look maybe like disappointed, frustrated. And sometimes it will look like our God is not faithful. But He's faithful, who has promised to lead us. He said He will lead us. And so let us allow ourselves for Him to lead us. Hallelujah. In this minor church age, the Lord said, yes, I am mindful of your trials and woes. I know how hard it is to get along, but I will remember all this when I return to claim you as my own, and then I will reward. Now, this is nothing against, rich people, because God can save the rich. Some of God's children are rich, but money can be such a snare, not only to those who have it, but those who don't have it. The Christian life should be independent of any influence in this life. It should be free from that. And then in the same Smyrna church age, the prophet said, the cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so. Amen. And manifested that he did love us. He did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said, and by conducting myself with joy in the midst of trials that he, in his wisdom, allows to come to pass. So God, in his wisdom, allows us to go through trials of different gravities or levels. But in all these, we must save him with all that is in us. As long as he gives us breath. See, when the Christian surrenders his life to Christ, your life looks so unreasonable and crazy to the unbeliever. He doesn't understand why. He knows you are suffering. He knows you have difficulty. He knows you have challenges. And yet, you continue to serve the same God. That is why Job's wife, Job was unbending. And then he said, you are so suffering. Nothing is improving. And you are following that God. Why don't you curse him? And then Job said, you speak like a foolish woman. You see, when they had it in abundance, you see, Job was so happy. And when they went into need or want or difficulty, he couldn't serve the Lord anymore. He wanted to curse God and then go her own way. But Job said, it is this God who has brought me this far. When we have plenty to eat, he is the one who provided. Now that we are in difficulty, he is the same God. I'm never going to forsake him. I will serve him. No wonder he said, I will trust him, even though he slay me. Job said something. Said, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Even if God decides to do away with me, I'll still love him. I'll still follow him. I'll serve him all the days of my life. I'll give my whole life to him. Because had not been God or the sacrifice, where would we be? If it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? He is the one keeping us. He's the one preserving us. He is the only hope we have in this life. The only hope in this life is the coming of the Lord, and that is what we are waiting for. And so we must serve him till he comes. If we want a reward, if we want to be called overcomers, we must serve him all the days of our lives. Paul said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, and I have maintained the faith. You know, many people are falling out of this message. I know it's happening everywhere. People are falling out of the message. And the Bible says there will be a falling away first. My brethren, may God help us that we will not be among the falling away. May we not be the people that the prophet was screaming on them, stay in line, stay in line. They were falling apart. They were coming out of tune. But may we be with the elect few who will stay on the word, who will be on the word, who are not ready to change. God has given us something more valuable than anything that this world can give. And the Bible says that when you buy the truth, never make your mind to sell it when you are in trouble, when you are in need. People acquire properties or something, I mean, valuables. And then when they are in need, then they let go, they sell them. But this value, this property that God has given to us, this unadulterated word, let us never sell it. No matter how difficult life becomes, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Brown was saying something. He said that the word that was given to us was given to us as a permanent deposit. It's a permanent deposit. It's not something that you have to keep for a while. It's a permanent deposit. And so we must keep it permanently all the days of our lives. It should be so precious to us, this message. Because men of old desire to hear what we are hearing. But God preserve it for us. We should be happy to serve the Lord. To live for Him all the days of our lives. See, that's where the challenge is. When we become Christians, we totally surrender every bit of our mental powers to God and follow after His leading. And as long as we try to go after our own feelings, then we are using the fallen state of the being. When we try to go after our own feelings, then we are using the fallen state of man, of the being. He said, the Lord God led Adam before the fall. And after the fall, Adam wanted to lead God. Man has continued that way ever since. If Adam had admitted his fallen condition and said, Lord, you led me before the fall. I am lost. Help me and show me how to get back to you. Lead me all the days of my life. If Adam had done that, I say, we will not be having all the troubles in the world today. We will not be having all the deaths and the sicknesses and the agonies and all that. If Adam had done the right thing to ask the Lord to lead him, because God was leading him before the fall. But after the fall, Adam wanted to lead God. It should be the reverse. All the days of our lives, we have to commit our lives to Him, that He will lead us. One time, Peter, Jesus and the disciples, God spoke the word to them, the true word, the word of life to them, and they all left. And Jesus asked the disciples, will you also leave? And then Peter said, where do we go? We know that you alone have the words of eternal life. We didn't understand what you said, just like the people who have gone. But we know that regardless of that, you alone have the words of eternal life. So whether we understand or not, whether we are satisfied with it or not, whether we are happy with it or not, we will follow. Whether it is well with us or not, we will follow. But we have no other place to go. You are all our lives. You are all that we care for. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to 39, They cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not them who draw back unto perdition, amen, but of them that believe to the saving of our souls. Brother, we need to become like Paul, who called himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was a prisoner, so he didn't have his own way. Where God led him, that's where he went. What God asked him to do, that's what he did. He just left total surrender in the hands of God. And that is how we also have to become. And to become prisoners, we cannot go far. Until we become prisoners, total prisoners. Because we'll go a little bit and then we'll feel that, no, it's becoming too much. It's becoming too much. We cannot go further. But we need to be prisoners. We need to leave ourselves completely in the hands of the Lord, that he will lead us and guide us. He will just show us the way to go, and then we will go that way. The Lord help us. Amen. May the Lord help us. If we ever went astray, if we ever went into a difficult situation, and then where there was no hope, where there seemed to be no help, you know, all was gone, and you had even given up, and then suddenly someone comes to your aid to bring you or to arrest the situation, to bring you out of that condition. I believe that we will be forever grateful to that person. And that is what God has done for us. That's what God has done for us. We have our different lives to live, but God came to our rescue. When we have fallen, our souls cast down, mercy rewrote our lives. He rewrote our lives. He cast them all, our sins and all trespasses, into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't even remember against us again. This is what God has done for us. Is he not worthy of worship and praise? Is he not worthy of serving him all the days of our lives? Look at the adulterous woman, the woman who was caught red-handed. His accusers came and Jesus just asked a question or just made a statement, and all of them left. And the woman was left with Jesus alone. Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" Say, "They've all gone." Say, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." How grateful do you think this woman would be to Christ? But for him, she would have been stoned to death. Say, "Jesus, my Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. I will live for you because you have saved my life." Think of Mary Magdalene, out of whom 7 demons were cast. Look at her condition, the condition that she was in. God brought her out of that. Now that she was free, I believe all her life, she wanted to live for Christ. "If you have delivered me, you've made me to be counted among people, because I was just useless, good for nothing. I had nothing. I was even ashamed to come out." The prophet said, the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, that because of her profession, she couldn't even go out during the day to fetch water. She would wait till all the virgins or whatever have come to fetch her, and then she would just sneak and then go and get her water. And now God brought her out of that. What do you think will be the relationship? The Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. I give my whole life to you. Just be in absolute control. That's what Mary Magdalene did. And many, many others through the Bible. Look at this maniac who was living in the tomb, among the tombs, cutting himself all along. Nobody could approach him. But when Jesus got there, have you come before the time to destroy us? Eventually, Christ called, commanded those demons. He said, what's your name? He said, Legion. It means there were many demons. God, Christ cast them out. They entered into a swine. And that this man was so free. Prophet said, maybe he was a responsible husband. He was a responsible father. But he got into that condition. Nobody wanted to get near him. And God saved him. The Bible says he sat at the feet of Jesus. What do you think this man will go back? The Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. I give my whole life to you. Had it not been you, I would have still remained in the tombs. Cut away from humans. But I'm also a human. Hasn't God done anything for us? To cause her to say, we'll serve you all the days of our lives. If he hasn't done anything for you, he has done so much for me. If we look back, we'll see that God has done so much for us. Let's just commit our lives to him. Let's be true to him. If we haven't been true to him, henceforth, let's be true to him. We can never deny him. We can never say he hasn't done anything for us. The very fact that we are breathing, the very fact that we are alive, it is God who has done that for us. It's not because we eat good food, we take good care of ourselves. There are rich people who get sick and their monies are not able to help them. And God is doing, he is doing and has done, and he will continue to do so many things for us. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be served, to be worshipped all the days of our lives. So let us rededicate our lives to him. The Lord will save you all the days of our lives. May the Lord help us. Amen. I don't know whether the musicians can help us with this song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Is it familiar? Sometimes the tunes change from place to place. I want to sing the way you sing here. My soul and the Savior, not all this world's nearly saved dreams. Nothing all save for pleasure. Jesus is mine. There is nothing between, nothing between my soul and the Savior. So that is blessed. Face may be seen.
as we have to, because our walk with the Lord is a love relationship. And I just remember Sister Evie always used to say, people love say they love the Lord, but I want to say I'm in love with him. That's good. That's, we don't walk out of duty. We don't pray out of duty. We don't. It's what he is to us. He is everything. I'd like us to come up and pray for Brother Samuel. He was here last. When were you, was you had the surgery last year? And he got very sick, and he needed surgery down in Atlanta. And somehow they made it work so he could have that, but he's here to do some follow-up down there. So let's come up and pray for him. Brother Samuel, come up here, would you? Would you come up and lay? Scripture says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we believe that, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come to you this evening. Thank you for bringing the word this evening. Thank you for blessing Brother Samuel with a heart for you and a desire to bless your children and those around, Lord. We just thank you for his testimony of living for you all the days of his life. We just ask that you would strengthen him in that. Lord, also touch his body, touch his time here, Lord. Give the doctors wisdom. But Lord, we just ask that you would show yourself the great physician, that his testimony would just continue to be one of your goodness and your mercy and your strength and working in his life. Just ask that you would bless the rest of his time here and those around him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Samuel. Thank you, everybody, for coming up to pray. And God bless you. Don't forget, Sunday is communion service starting at 5 o'clock. If you would be so kind to spread the word, so help everybody. Remember, let's sing one more song. Mercy rewrote my life. Would you stand with me? Let's just sing to the Lord. Mercy.